following is a message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information, visit livingwatersmn.org.
First of all, I just want to give you a heads up that in December, our sermon series was going to be He Shall Be Called. And we're going to be focusing on the character and the nature through the names of Jesus throughout that time. So I would encourage you, we're doing that as a kind of our Advent as a family. We're going to be doing a different name of Jesus every day and kind of focusing on that. And I just feel like there's something really powerful, even in the worship today, it talked about the victory in Jesus' name. My victory is in Jesus' name. And just begin to be thinking about what name of Jesus is victory in this moment for me? What name of Jesus, how does he come as the healer? How does he come as the light of the world? How does he come as the life? Whatever those things are, because we're just going to kind of be going after that. I just feel like this is a season of focusing wholeheartedly on who he is. Just focusing on his nature and his character. And so I would encourage you to kind of get a head start on the December theme and to begin to press into that, who he is and how he's showing up in those different names and those characteristics. Today, however, is the last day of our sermon series on the Holy Spirit and me. And how many of you have enjoyed taking another look at the Holy Spirit this month? I have just really found such joy in that. I've found such joy in kind of looking again at what the activity of the Holy Spirit is in our lives and what he brings to us. And so I'm expecting that today we're going to be refreshed in that as well. My dad opened the series. For those of you who don't know, Pastor Bob is my dad, and he's teaching Sunday school today. But he opened the series with just a powerful word and kind of a picture of what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And to stay filled with the Holy Spirit, and just talked about how we can do that. And then I had an opportunity to share, and I preached about kind of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to be. I think sometimes we think about the activity and the work of the Holy Spirit in a very kind of outward way, that when things are happening that we can see on the outside, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the last time I spoke, I talked about really the things, the inside work of the Holy Spirit, the transformational work, that part of the work of the Holy Spirit is he's bringing transformation to my ability to be like Jesus, to carry the nature and the character and the just the being of who Jesus is. And I have been so just blessed by a deeper revelation of what that is and what that means, that the Holy Spirit, it is as miraculous, that transformation that is unseen. And I believe that there's a lot of unseen work going on right now. I believe that the Holy Spirit is working internally in a lot of us. There's this stirring that he's doing, this sanctification that he's bringing internally. And so I kind of focused on that piece of it, that a huge work of the Holy Spirit is to transform us from the inside out. And then Pastor Dave brought a powerful word about how walking in the Holy Spirit is not an option, it's a necessity. Just the necessity of walking in the Holy Spirit, being led by the Spirit, not just in seasons like this, but for every moment, for everything that we're doing. Even the reality of, I can walk in the Holy Spirit as a housekeeper in my home. I wish I did. It would be so much cleaner. But, you know, that I can walk in the Holy Spirit. It's as important that I can do that as a mom or as a housekeeper or as a person paying my bills or whatever it is, that there's a necessity for everything that we do to walk in the Holy Spirit. And for what we would classify as little things and big things. And just the reality of how important it is for us to stay connected to that. Today, I want to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit and how it's a vital part of our ability to fulfill the mission, the commission of Jesus on our lives, the reason that he came, the reason that we celebrate during this upcoming season, that there is a power that comes. And so a little bit, I talked some about how the Holy Spirit empowers us to be. Today I want to talk about the power that he brings so that we can do the stuff of Jesus, that we can do the works of the kingdom. And so that's what I want to talk about today. So I really believe that for me, in my head, the way that I see it, the Holy Spirit brings empowerment to walk out the culture of the kingdom, which is our be. That's how we be in the Holy Spirit. But that is equally important as the power to demonstrate the kingdom, to do. And so we have the be and the do. And I think sometimes, I'm trying to work in here a doobie doobie do song, but I couldn't quite make it happen. But it's not so much, I just want to remind us, I don't think it's doobie doobie do. I think it's be do, be do, be do. And I think there's this reality for us to walk out the power of the demonstration of the kingdom. We have to know how to be first. We have to know how to allow that transformation of the Holy Spirit to be. But then what comes out of that is the do. That there is a demonstration of the kingdom that we're meant to walk in. So Jesus talked about this. I love the way that Jesus did this third-party introduction to the disciples of the Holy Spirit. He's laying the groundwork all throughout. We read it some last time, all throughout John, toward the end of John, you know, before he's going to be crucified. He's laying the groundwork for the Holy Spirit. Like, he's a really great guy. It's like when you have a friend and you're trying to hook them up with somebody, and so you just kind of talk about that person and all the good things about them because you really want them to meet them and to like them. And it's like that. He's talking about that. In John 14, he's saying, okay, when he comes, he's going to teach you all things. He's a teacher. And when he comes, he's going to be a helper, and he's going to remind you of what I said. And then in John 16, he says, when he comes, he's going to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. And there's some things I haven't told you yet because you couldn't handle it, but when he comes, he's going to tell you those things. And so he's setting up this like, you have something to look forward to. He's going to come. And here's who he's going to be. So Jesus is making this third-party introduction. He's saying he's going to lead you into all truth. He's going to tell you the things to come. And above all, he's going to point to me, Jesus said. He's going to represent me when he comes. He's not coming on his own accord. He's representing me. And so he's laying the groundwork for this, and it continues. So that's all before the crucifixion. Then there's the crucifixion, and then the resurrection. And then he's talking to them some more about it because they were almost as slow as I am to catch on to these things. And so he's talking and he's saying, no, the Holy Spirit's coming. Are you ready? This is what he's going to do. And they're still asking him questions about, yeah, but when are we going to defeat the Romans? And he's going, no, I'm telling you about the Holy Spirit. So in Acts, this is after the resurrection, but before the ascension, in Acts 1:8, he's telling them again, but you shall receive power. So this is the first time his introduction has said he's coming with power. He's told them that he's a teacher. He's told them that he's a helper. He's told them that the Holy Spirit's going to reveal all things, all those things. Now he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so we've kind of taken that verse and we look at that and we say, for us, that means you're going to be my witnesses in your immediate sphere of influence, in your city, in your state, in your nation, and in all of the earth. That's the power of the Holy Spirit that's going to come on us for that purpose. So here's the thing. I can tell you right now what the call of God is on your life. Isn't that great? I bet you didn't know it was going to be solved this morning. The call of God on your life is to be a witness to who Jesus is. That's the call of God on your life. It may vary in how we do that, but I know that the call of God on my life in everything that I'm doing is to be a witness for Jesus. Right now, I'm doing that in my home. I'm doing that with my family. I'm doing that in this role that I've just stepped into. That's part of how and who and where I'm doing it. But for all of us, the call of God on our life is to be a witness. It's really that simple. I don't have to pray about it. I don't have to wonder about it. That's the call of God on my life. There's more specific details as to where I'm doing that or who I'm doing that with, what sphere I'm meant to influence. But not only is it the call of God on your life, but you are fully equipped to do it in the sense that you have power. He says, power will come and then you'll be my witnesses. You have access to that power. And so when we opened the series, one of the things I talked about was, what are the things I'm leaving on the table that Holy Spirit brought, but I'm not fully accessing? And I feel like one of the things that we sometimes leave on the table is the power to be his witnesses, to exhibit who he is, not just in word, but in deed. And that's where what I'm kind of looking at today. So a witness is someone that declares what they have seen or heard or know. So as followers of Jesus, part of what we do is we are witnesses that we declare what we've seen, what we heard, what we know of Jesus. When we encounter him in any way in our lives, that we take the opportunity to say, this is what I've seen of him, this is who he is, as a witness. That was the plan. But here's the thing. It was never just to be in word. It was that we would also demonstrate the kingdom. That we're witnesses for what we see of the kingdom of heaven through Jesus. And guess what? As we grow in the Lord, that gets bigger. My view of what is accessible in the kingdom or who the king is or how the kingdom operates is bigger and more vast as I get to know the king better. And so as a witness, I get to say, this is what I see. But the plan was always that we would also be able to demonstrate it because power would come alongside that. That we would speak of the kingdom, but we would also demonstrate the kingdom. So that was the plan. The other aspect of it then is it gives that power a purpose. So we love the power of the Holy Spirit, don't we? We love to see it in operation. We love to see the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through someone and a prophetic word speaking to somebody's heart and bringing freedom and healing to them. We love to see the power of the Holy Spirit come and bring healing to somebody. But what we sometimes forget is that power has a purpose, and that is to point to the King and his kingdom for the sake of the harvest. That power came not just so we could have a really fun time in here, which is awesome, and I like that when that happens, but it came for a purpose, and it was the same purpose that Jesus came for, which was he desires that none would be lost. There's this desire in him to, the power wouldn't even be necessary except that it works really well to get people's attention and to show them that there is a king and a kingdom that you can't see. And when we lose track of the fact that that's what the power is for, and it doesn't necessarily go and do that purpose, I think of it a little bit like when there's too much power and you've got this one little light bulb on, eventually it's just going to blow the fuse because the power isn't, it's a lot of power. And it has a purpose. It's not just for this little light bulb. And so I feel like one of the things that the Lord wants to do is to begin to restore the flow of power for the purpose that it's meant for. That as we, I feel like we're in a little bit of a season of, like Jesus said, wait for the Holy Spirit to come. Power is going to come on you so that you can be my witnesses. I feel like we're in that season right now. As we, even as we're, I'm a little confused in my head, as we're in this kind of season of Advent, the season of the waiting, I'm like, well, it's not Pentecost yet. But it is. Like this is a season where we're waiting for the next kind of revelation of who Jesus is and what he came to bring so that we can release that in power as his witnesses. So the power has a purpose. And that is that it would open the door so that people can see that we have a king and a kingdom. I feel like any time we begin to talk about the harvest or seeing people get saved or whatever, that it can begin to put this pressure on us, like, oh my gosh, the new pastor is going to make all of us be evangelists. And I want to take that pressure off of us. It's not about that. That's why be comes before do. Because nothing comes out of guilt or pressure that, oh, now we all have to go share Jesus. And are we all going to have to carry tracks around like Rick does? Because he does that really well. I don't do that really well. But I know that I'm called to be a witness. And I'm called to be a witness in the way, in the place that I'm called to be a witness, just like you. But that's not pressure. There's no pressure in that. I believe we're coming into a season where we just won't really be able to stop ourselves. It's not about how can I stir myself up to start myself. I believe that we're coming into a season where the Holy Spirit comes in power and we can't stop ourselves. We're exuding the kingdom and who he is, and we're just being witnesses all over the place with people, and we're having the heart of the Lord to want to see the kingdom then demonstrated in their lives. And so can we just take off the pressure as it relates to, I believe we're coming into a season of harvest. That doesn't mean that we have a pressure. It means we get to get ready and we get to steward what God's doing. And, okay, that's all I'm going to say about that right now. I don't want there to be any pressure. I don't want there to be now we all have to be evangelists. Do you know Holy Spirit is kind of an evangelist? From the standpoint that his job is to demonstrate the gospel. That's what when he comes in power and he demonstrates it. So he'll make it really easy because he's an evangelist and he's going to flow through your life and it's going to look however it looks. It doesn't have to look a certain way. Okay. Do we all feel better now? I do. Okay. So I'm going to read this verse and maybe it'll get me back on track. John chapter 20, verse 21. So Jesus said to them once again, "Peace to you. As the Father sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So he's saying we've all established the calling on our lives is to be witnesses, to be sent. So Jesus says, "I'm sending you the same way the Father sent me." This is one of my favorite things. Little statements like that in the Bible are my favorite because you can't just leave it there. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Oh, well, that leads to, well, how did the Father send Jesus? That's my favorite thing about studying the Word, is when it comes up with a question. Do you know, I would encourage you in your study of the Bible, just go with your questions. If you have a question, don't, a reading plan is good, and I like that. But there is a Holy Spirit direction in our questions. That when we see something that goes, well, what does that mean? It draws us into the discovery. Okay, so, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. How did he send Jesus? Well, in Matthew 4:23, it says, Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. So when Jesus came, we see the way the Father sent him was Jesus came, he got anointed with the Holy Spirit. I want to make sure I do it in the right order. Jesus came, he got anointed with the Holy Spirit, and he preached the gospel of the kingdom with power. That's how the Father sent Jesus. And Jesus says, now I'm sending you that same way. I'm going to anoint you with the Holy Spirit. His power is going to come on you. You're going to preach the gospel with power. And I want us to begin to connect with that. That there is this reality of the way that Jesus preached the gospel was that he came with a radical, powerful love. He preached, he spoke the truths of the kingdom, and then he demonstrated those things. He says, I'm sending you in that same way. So this commission in John chapter 20 was a commissioning to preach the gospel with power. You have been commissioned to preach the gospel with power. And by preach, I don't mean that we all need to find a platform. This is what it means to be a witness. It means I am speaking what I see, what I know of the kingdom, and it's accompanied with the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's look at the gospel just so we all are on the same page. The gospel is basically the good news about the kingdom. That's what the gospel means. It's the good news of what comes because we have a king and his kingdom. So we're saying, there is a king, he's real, he has a very real kingdom. Here's the good news about that. So anything, a testimony is preaching the gospel. A life walked out in hope and faith and love is preaching the gospel. The joy that that Brian talked about this morning, the joy that we have is preaching the gospel to people. It's giving an opportunity for someone to say, there's something, you're connected to something that I'm not connected to. So that's how we get to be his witnesses. It's the good news. To preach the gospel is basically to bring or announce good news that brings joy. So he says, I'm sending you in the same way. Okay, I'm trying to manage my time better, can you tell? Okay, so I'm sending you in the same way that he is going to put power on our lives and send us into the world so we can introduce the king and his kingdom. As we talk about introducing the people to the king and his kingdom, we cannot get away from this reality. You can't separate the kingdom of God and power. You just can't. It's not, because here's why, because it's real. It's not a fairy tale kingdom. It's not a storybook. It's real. And so you can't separate it from the power that comes with it. You can't separate the power from the name of Jesus. When we proclaim who he is, we can't separate. It's not like we have to go find it and try to bring it to us where we are. You just can't separate it because it's a real kingdom. It's a real kingdom. So he's given us power. That power has a purpose, and it's to introduce people to the king and his kingdom. And that's why the Holy Spirit comes on our lives with power. Yes, are we partakers of that? Absolutely. Can I be a partaker of the power of the Holy Spirit in my life for healing or to bring hope? Absolutely. But we need to realize that his power is for the purpose of demonstrating the kingdom so people can know the king. So it's not just for me. It's a gift that I get to share. So let's see how that played out with the disciples. So Jesus made that really great introduction to the Holy Spirit. And we know what happened in the upper room, and they were filled with the Spirit. Let's look at Acts 3. I'm going to do a fair amount of reading, but we're all okay with that, right? Okay. Yes. So Acts 3. So now we have Peter and John. They went together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. So this is the lot of people who had a physical malformity in that time. That's the lot of for him. If he's going to eat, if he's going to live, he has to beg at the gate. And he can't even get himself there. Someone carries him there, and he sits there hoping he'll get something. So he's asking alms for those who entered the temple. Seeing Peter and John, in verse 3, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them. I wonder how long it had been since he had entered the temple. He entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So then Peter and John end up getting to share the gospel, getting to share the good news, because everyone's in wonder and amazement going, "What happened?" Perfect. They begin to share the gospel. Let's look at chapter 4, verse 1. Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them, not the way that we would think. They laid their hands on them. I don't think they prayed for them. And put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. Power, the power of the Holy Spirit is critical for the harvest because it sets the stage for the harvest. And so we see here, this healing happens. People gather because it's, you know, what's going on. They share the gospel. They get arrested. Little side note. 5,000 men, probably even more than that if you counted women and children, which we do now because it's 2020. 5,000 came to the Lord, came to his kingdom, recognized a king in his kingdom. And so power is so important to set the stage. We're not called to just talk about the kingdom. We're called to demonstrate it. And again, I think sometimes we can focus on demonstrating the kingdom through healing or demonstrating the kingdom through a word of knowledge or through the prophetic word. In everything, we're meant to demonstrate the kingdom. My marriage should demonstrate the kingdom and set the stage for a harvest. Not so much yesterday. Just kidding. But we're working on that. Thank you, dear. We actually had a fairly, we moved yesterday. You know how that is. And we actually had a fairly, it was more the day before that was the preparation for the move. We were all ready by then. I forgive you. So, but my marriage should demonstrate the kingdom. My processing through, not that I parent perfectly, but the way that I process through and the heart for my kids and that demonstrates the kingdom. The way that I do my work demonstrates the kingdom, the way I'm in relationship with people. But yes, also that I can demonstrate the kingdom through the power of the Holy Spirit in healing and in prophecy, because it sets the stage for the harvest. It is not a plaything. It is not a hobby. It is imperative that we can walk in power for the sake of the harvest, because that is still the heart of God. It's still the same mission. He's still about the same thing. He hasn't changed that. I think it's amazing that every year at this time of year, we celebrate and we have another revelation of, for God so loved the world that he sent his son. So now, for God so loved the world that he sent you to be a witness with demonstrations of power. Because his spirit is in us. And that hasn't changed. So it's important that we can walk in that. We're not just called to go into the harvest and speak truth. We are. But we're called to demonstrate truth. This is why the issue of love is so important. This is why it matters that we get love right, that we know how to walk in love. Because we need to be able to demonstrate the kingdom. We need to be able to demonstrate who the king is. Do you know how you demonstrate truth? By loving people and power. That's how Jesus did it. So, the kingdom of God is not in word, it's in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says exactly that. The kingdom of God is not in word, it's in power. And what if you look at the word, the way that that's translated, it says it's more like it's not in word only, but in power. Or when Paul said to the Corinthians in his letter to the Corinthians, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstrations of the Spirit and of power. So that's how we walk out our lives. Do you know what's awesome about that? That means I can be a pretty mediocre preacher. Maybe not, but kind of. I go, wow. Because Paul seems like he was pretty awesome, but he said, no, my words were not with enticing words of man's wisdom. It means I don't have to know all the things. I have to come and witness to what I see and know and have heard of the kingdom. And then I have to be willing to be a conduit of his power as I preach those things, as I share those things. Your life, as you're walking throughout life, is saying, there is a kingdom, it has love, and it's real, tangible love. Or there's a kingdom, it has hope, and it's real, tangible hope, because I'm demonstrating it, or peace, or joy, or freedom, or healing. It's a real kingdom, and it has these real things. Not just because I can talk about it. How many of you are tired of hearing people talk about all the things, right? Let me get by with this. I don't think the kingdom is a product. But how many of you, if someone's trying to sell you something, what's the thing? If you're a salesperson, what do you hope people let you do if you're trying to sell them a product? Demonstrate it. Right? In sales, the best possible thing. That's why those vacuum salespeople come into your house, and before you can even say hi, they dump dirt on your floor, and they say, I can clean that up in 3 seconds. And you go, you better. No. But because that is what shifts something for us, is when we see something demonstrated. So that's what the world is looking for right now. As the church, we're saying, Jesus is the answer, and you know, Jesus is love, but we have to be able to demonstrate it. And that's what the Holy Spirit's job is. He transforms things inside of us so that we can demonstrate and have the fruit of the Spirit of who Jesus is. And he brings power so that things can be demonstrated that are just not possible without Jesus. Oh, I got bad at time management again. Okay, so here's why it's important. Because here's what happens when power comes. Power reveals the reality of God. So I can say all day long, there's a God, I live for him, I love him, he loves me, he loves you. But power, when people see that in front of them, it reveals the reality of who he is. And so most people, even contrary to what we kind of see on the news or whatever, most people are not atheists. Most people in this nation, really worldwide, believe in a God. But the thing is, they believe that maybe he's distant or disconnected. Most people believe that there's something bigger than us, but their view of him is not right. They don't see him rightly. And they think maybe he's disconnected or he doesn't care. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to work with us in power and to encounter people, it reveals the reality of God. It reveals not only is there a God, which I think there is a longing in people's heart to see that. Even those who would say they're adamantly opposed to there's no God, there's no God. They have a strong atheist stance. There's a longing in their heart to be wrong about that. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to operate through us in power, it reveals the reality. And not only that, it confronts a false view of who God is. So maybe they think God is real, but they don't think he's accessible, or they don't think he's involved. And when we demonstrate the power of who he is, all of a sudden he's right there. And something in their heart responds to that. Because this God that they thought was so distant or so uninvolved or so uncaring, now they see the nature of who he is. And it's in the room with them. So, power reveals the reality of God. Power reveals his nature and his character. Psalm 62, verse 2 and 3 says, "So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you." The loving kindness of God is connected to the power and glory of God. When the power and glory of God is revealed, his loving kindness is revealed. And so when he's on display in that way, then people believe that there's a God, but they don't know him. And now all of a sudden they go, he is so loving and he is so kind. That's the job of the power of the Holy Spirit, to reveal that to people. We have to be able to tap into that. We have to be able to walk that out for people to really know who he is. When his power is present, his nature and his character begin to reveal, then it's this. He's extremely loving, and he is extremely kind. The third thing is that power reveals the authority that Jesus has to save. And this is brings us full circle back to the purpose of the power. The purpose of the power isn't so that somebody can be touched or healed or whatever. They go, that's so cool. Awesome. Okay, thanks, and walk away. But there's something in when power is revealed and it touches their lives that they now believe Jesus is who he says he is, and that he can forgive me of my sins. He can do something that I've wondered, could that really even be? People wonder, can Jesus really forgive my sins? Can Jesus really erase the past of where I've been? Can he really set me free from the trauma of that? Can he really set me free of the effects of my sin? And there's something about having his power come into their lives, especially if they haven't been walking with him. And having him move in their lives where they go, he can do that. He can bring me into a place of being clean and healed. In Luke chapter 5, it's the story of, I'm going to try to tell it because for time, but in Luke chapter 5, the story of the paralytic being lowered down through the ceiling, the friends lower, they can't get in to Jesus, so they lower him down through the ceiling for Jesus to heal him. And the first thing that Jesus did before anything is he said when he saw their faith, the faith of the friends, when he saw their faith, he forgave him. He said, your sins are forgiven. He forgave him before he healed him. And then the Pharisees were there, of course, and they were upset, and they were muttering to themselves or whatever, and it says, Jesus, knowing what was in their hearts, so imagine that, somebody's reading your thoughts, he says, why are you upset? Which is harder, to forgive the sins of another or to heal? And to them, it was to forgive the sins, because only God can do that. That was their problem with Jesus. It was like he was God or something. So only God can forgive sins. And he says, which is harder, to forgive sins or to heal? And then he said, I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins. And he went to the paralyzed man and said, get up and walk, and he healed him. And so Jesus right there he's saying, the power that I have to minister healing is your proof that I have authority to forgive sins, because it means I'm God. And so there's something about power coming into people's lives, bringing healing, bringing encouragement, bringing hope that they didn't otherwise have access to, that convinces them that he can forgive sins. And that leads to a harvest. And that's what I believe is coming. So Jesus answered the question. People wonder, can Jesus really forgive my sin? He answered that question with the paralytic man by healing him. So, as we close, here's what I want. I don't know what I want yet. Hang on. I want us to be confident that we have access to this power. But I also want us to be so aware that that power has a purpose. And I want us to be ready for the result of that power. I feel so confident that there's a harvest coming. I'm really confident in that. I'm still wrestling with the confidence in seeing the power of the Holy Spirit work. I'm just being honest, in through my life. It's been a little dry season on that issue. And so I just want us to, as we close, I just feel like Jesus wants to reintroduce us to what the Holy Spirit is bringing in our lives. In the way that he did that for the disciples, he said, he's bringing this, he's bringing this, he's bringing this. So right now, Jesus, we just thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you that it's not a gift just for us. We thank you that it is a gift that's limitless. It's a gift that that we have access to, that is without limit. We just ask that you would begin to peel away the things, the ways that we have limited the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Those places that we haven't allowed that to operate. And Lord, we pray that you would stir in our hearts as you are transforming us on the inside to be more like you. We just ask that you would stir in our hearts the passion that you had for people to know the King and his kingdom. That you would begin to just break our hearts for the lost. That you would stir our hearts for the harvest. Jesus, you said that the harvest was ready, that the harvest was plentiful, but the workers were few. And we thank you that you are sending us in this season, and you're sending us with power, that there's never a time that I reach back and come up with nothing as I go into the harvest as a witness. We want to lay down anything that we have confidence in ourselves and pick up the confidence of knowing that the Holy Spirit is coming in power through us. And we say yes to that. We say yes to the harvest. We say yes to co-laboring with Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. To learn more about us, please visit livingwatersmn.org.